Tay Hardy interviewing
Camille Baumier.
Now, you joined No Fit State with the trainee producer scheme, is that right?
Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit about that, please?
Yes. So actually, there is two... I joined a little bit before the first trainee producer scheme. I used to work in Edinburgh and be based there, and that's how I met No Fit State originally in 2004, I think, when they were there with Immortal. And I was already a sort of assistant producer working on outdoor projects, large-scale events in Scotland. And there was that year, I think it was 2010, maybe 2009. Anyway, one year, the Federation of Scottish Theatre was giving out bursaries for Scotland-based emerging producers to come to go and do placement with other companies to bring back skills into Scotland. And I did mine, so I got the bursary and I did a placement with No Fit State. And that's how we first started working together.
So did you approach No Fit State?
I approached No Fit State, or I think we approached each other. I wanted to work with No Fit, and that's the year they started working on Barricade, and they were approached by the Zeppa Network, which was a French, British network for creating outdoor arts. So they were looking for somebody with experience in working in France, etc. And I wanted to go and work with them. So there was a good match there. And the FST bursary meant that I could go and work with No Fit State for a short period of time, after which I went back to Scotland, and the relationship grew. And when Ali and the rest of the company decided to set up this producer training scheme, they approached me to ask me if I was interested in applying to come and support them on Barricade, which, of course, I did. And that's how I started working with No Fit State.
That's lovely. And how has your career progressed with No Fit State? What time, what sort of journey have you been on since?
So I did, I think I joined as an emerging artist. There was, when the scheme was started, there was two levels. There was an entry level for really young producers and a second level for more advanced producers, which is the level I joined on, which meant that I was only, I only did the placement for a year, after which I started working alongside Ali as her assistant, working with her on Barricade and the outdoor projects she was running at the time. And when Ali went to Kathmandu on her sabbatical, I think that's really when my job started evolving and changing. I've always been interested in international development and taking work outside of the UK. And that's when we sort of changed my title into something more focusing on developing new markets for the company.
Lovely. And so how, in what way, and how did that actually develop from there then? In how did you manage to branch out into different countries, and in what way did you do that?
I think I did two things simultaneously. The first was to really try to promote and sell the shows we were actually currently touring, which were Barricade, Bianco. Yeah, I think that's the two shows we were touring at the time. So really trying to plug them into international events, which we did and we're still doing. And at the same time, and that's something I'm really focusing on at the moment, at the same time, it's about analysing and identifying the areas, the geographical areas of the world where there currently is or are growing markets and funds that can allow festivals to book projects of the scale of the work we do, where there is also an audience with an interest in circus. So it's really sort of mapping the world to try and identify the key markets for our work and proactively build connections by going there, attending events there, having meetings at those places and generally attending international events and showcases to meet these people there, because they also travel to go to events, and I go there and we meet, and that's how we start building connections. And maybe, hopefully, in 3 years, because these relations take a lot of time and investment to develop, these are all places we'll start going to with our work.
So have you, looking to the future now, have you an area of the world that No Fit State hasn't really gone into that you would really like to open up?
Yeah, there's a few. We're now having quite a lot of conversations with festivals and presenters, so that's venue directors or theatre directors, etc., who are in a position of booking work. We are talking to a lot of them in Latin America, in Chile, Colombia, Mexico, Argentina. Again, more work needs to happen there before we can start taking work, because at the moment the work we do is too big to go to those places, but we're building relationships. We're starting to develop in America. So we're working on taking Bianco there next year in May into New York, and that would be the first time we'd been in the USA. We're also working in starting to develop links in Asia, because that's a really massively growing market, both in terms of the art form development over there, but also financially, it's where the money is at the moment. Last year, we went to Australia for the first time. And I'm also, this year, and that's really a sort of short-term investment, focusing on Scandinavia. We haven't been there very much, but there are big events that could host a show like Bianco.
And how do you feel, from your position, that No Fit State is perceived, where it has been already, and when you take it to the new markets, is it perceived as a very large, a very prestigious company, or in what way?
I mean, obviously, the visibility and the impact we have depends on where we are, because of cultural contexts, etc. We, for example, we have a name in Australia, although we've only been there once. I think people know about us in Australia. Nobody knows us in Latin America, except for people who, except for the festival directors we're having conversations with. In Montreal, for example, a lot of people know us because we've been there once. I think it depends, and I think the way people perceive us is still as something that's quite new, because the style of our work is still quite fresh for most places outside of Europe. But also the fact that we can combine very contemporary work with a quite traditional way of presenting work in the big top, traveling in caravans as a collective, really, it is quite rare. So there are growing numbers of very contemporary circus companies that have a name out there, but none of them work in the way we do. Most other companies present work in theatres. So I think what we have is something quite unique, which makes us stand out from the crowd a little bit, but at the same time makes us very accessible. So we're not sort of high brow or, you know, elitist or intellectual performance. We're still very much a company for the people and a people's show.
Taking one European country, France, for example, yeah. How would you say, where does No Fit State fit in terms of other native kind of circus companies?
Yeah.
And that sort of thing?
Do you know, I used to think that I knew exactly where we stood, and now I'm not sure anymore. I think France is a complicated example, because obviously there's a massive tradition of contemporary circus in France, you know, it's pretty much where contemporary circus was born. But Nouveau Cirque, which is the name for it in France, Cirque Nouveau, New Circus, developed in theatres, on stages, and when we, 10 years ago or 5 years ago, when we started performing in France, we were one of the only companies performing in a big top. And I think that was a huge, great thing for us to do because, you know, we really stood out. I think there was a massive interest for contemporary circus in France at the time. It was, and it still is, really seen as an established art form, as much, you know, in the same way as dances or music. And for a company to tour traditionally, I think was quite rare. If you go to circus festivals in France now, there are big tops everywhere. A lot of companies have returned to the traditional circus format and are touring in caravans, etc. So I guess we need to continue to challenge the way we work to again stand out and offer something that is that bit different. And the formats of something like Bianco, for example, with you know, the fact that we have no seating and the audience is standing, still differentiates us from what's being done out there. But I think we're going to have to reevaluate that very soon because that's not so fresh out there anymore. And that's why we're developing a new project at the moment, challenging what we do and looking at new skills and looking at new tools to just keep pushing and keep developing.
And so during your time in No Fit State, what have you got any standout memories that you'd like to share?
Yes. From the top, so yeah, of course, lots of anecdotes from being on tour and spending hours working in the mud trying to flatten the ground in Edinburgh before the big top arrived, and it was just raining continuously, and there's just Hinch and me for 2 days in the mud with no electricity, no water. And these are great, brilliant moments that I think for somebody that has a similar role as mine in another company is not something they would do, and that's something I love, and that's why I, you know, cherish my job with No Fit State, is because I can, you know, be on tour and participate in the life of the circus. And moments like landing in Australia last year, and really none of us in the company, there's 35 of us, hardly any of us had ever been to Australia, and here we were putting the big top up, about to do 30 shows, and that was amazing. That was absolutely amazing. And yeah, lots of adventures on the road and great achievements as well. Moments when you just work days and nights and weekends and it's exhausting, and suddenly, you know, you just achieve something, and to be able to celebrate successes regularly, because I think we're doing really well, is something that's really, yeah, wonderful.
And so you mentioned a bit about the whole community side of No Fit State. How important do you feel that is to your maybe job satisfaction, the fact that you're here, that whole, the touring side, the community side, the fact that it's maybe like a family kind of a business?
Yeah, I think that's what originally drew me into the company, and I met No Fit State as friends before I started working with them, and I think that's really important. And I'd come and visit in Cardiff, and I'd stayed with Zoe when she was still working there. Yeah, so I think for me that's a huge part of it, and you know, the ethos of the company, the way respect is paid towards every single person that works for the company, and the fact that everyone is valued for what they do is for me really important. Today, this year I've just decided to not tour with any of the shows, so I can focus on developing for the future a bit better. I think it's important for me to be one step ahead, and it's very easy to be on tour and just be dragged and into the life of the tour. So I'm trying to do things differently this year, and I think I'll miss it definitely, but I also believe in the future of the company, and I want to push that, and to do that I need to step out of the present a little bit, project into the future.
Great. And a tricky question maybe now, do you see No Fit State as a company that couldn't have evolved how it has in any, in say France or something where you're from? Is it a particularly British company in any sort of way that you can think of?
Yeah, no, I don't think we are at all, actually. I think we are closer to, you know, I think people, okay, I think people, audiences, when they see our work, are quite surprised to find out we're British. I think what we do, well, especially the work we present in the Big Top, because that's what's traveled, internationally the most. And of course, this work is very much flavoured by the style of Firenze, who's Italian and whose roots are very much in Latin countries and aesthetics and the style of work. So I think this work is very un-British, actually, but where maybe it could be a little bit British is in the raw edginess of punk attitude that the company has towards just invading spaces and having something to say, and having I think coming from quite a quite politicized background, especially the you know the founders of the company have that in mind, and I think still carry that with them in the work they do today. Yeah, I guess the sort of punk attitude of the work we do is quite British.
That's fabulous. Well, thank you very much for that. That's lovely.
My pleasure. Thank you.